Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. I am Michelle Morris from Consolidated Planning Group. Today, we have got a fantastic speaker with us, Rebecca from Texas Workforce Solutions and their vocational rehab services. She's going to be talking us through, you know, a lot of different things that you need to know about the Workforce Solutions programs, the VR program, how to get your child involved and what exactly those are. So thank you so much, Rebecca, for being here with us today. I will go ahead and let Rebecca take over after I go through a couple of slides and a couple of housekeeping items. So the first thing is that since we're in webinar mode, we can't hear you or see you. Now I know that there's about 50 people out there right now watching us already. If you have any questions or comments, we welcome those, and we would love for you to put any questions or comments you have in the chat box. I've already put the contact information for Consolidated Planning Group and my personal email address, so you can email me if you have any questions for me and maybe don't want to put them out in the public forum. Also, I want to let you know that we are recording today's webinar. Later on today, you should receive in your email a link to the recording, which will be on our YouTube channel. We put all of our webinars over to YouTube once we're done recording them. So you'll find all of our webinars there on our YouTube channel. You're also going to receive the slides from today's webinar. So if there's any links, or you know, you just want to go back through the slides, you can have those as well. So hopefully you signed up with your correct email address today in order to get that information later on. If not, you can just email me and let me know, and I'll make sure to get you the slides. So again, I'm Michelle from Consolidated Planning Group. We are located just outside of Houston, Texas, and we serve families all across the United States. We started mainly working here in Texas, but as the word has grown about the services that we are providing for families, we've really seen an uptick in people from other states reaching out to us. And I can tell you, it's been no problem. We can handle people from other states. We're able to help you find great resources and take care of you no matter where you live. We have over 30 years of experience with insurance and securities, being in the financial world. We are also members of the Special Needs Planning Academy, and we're National Social Security Advisors. Also, I've just earned my Chartered Special Needs Consultant certification. I haven't put that into my slides yet, but I'll get that in there. But I mean, first and foremost, we are financial advisors. So we want to help families understand the financial aspects of having a loved one who has some kind of intellectual or developmental disability and how this is going to impact your financial future, how you can provide for your children going forward, and even set enough money for them aside so that you know that they will be taken care of once you are gone. So we help families come up with a special needs plan. The reason that we do this is because the owner of our company, Allison, she and her husband, Jeff, have four kids altogether, and two of them have disabilities. So that's when she really decided, you know, to turn the whole company to focus on helping families with a loved one or an individual involved who has some kind of disability, because she saw how difficult it was. So we truly live this and breathe this. We're not a financial planning firm that also does special needs planning. This is what we do. I would say about 95% of our clients have a child with some kind of disability. So it's not just once in a while we help families who have disabilities. It's every single day. This is what we do. We help you think about a protection plan for your family, making sure that if somebody passes away early or becomes disabled, you will be protected. Lifetime care planning for your loved one. You know, once you're gone, they might still need care and not be able to be completely independent. So who is going to take care of them, and how are you going to pay for that when you're not here? We help with transition planning, that time when your child is turning into an adult in the eyes of the law when they turn 18, or when they graduate from high school and they are coming out into the real world. You know, there's a lot that happens legally, financially, and emotionally during those times. You don't want your child just to graduate to the couch to play video games, right? You want vocational programs like we're going to talk about today. You want educational programs, things like that. So we can help you plan those. We help families with ABLE accounts and special needs trusts and benefits like SSI and SSDI, Medicare and Medicaid, and how to understand all of these things and how to keep your money in the right buckets for your child so that they don't miss out on any of these great benefits. You know, we are truly, like I said, here to educate and to advocate for you. There are over 263,000 financial advisors in the United States. And I should probably look up that number again, because the last data I saw, I think, was 2022. So out of those 263,000 financial advisors across the entire United States, fewer than 200 of us, not 200,000, just 200, period. Fewer than 200 focus on special needs planning. So you are definitely in the right place when you're here with us to learn about how to plan for the success and the care of your loved ones. We know that it keeps you awake at night to think about who's going to take care of your loved one when you're not here anymore and you no longer can. So we encourage you to start planning right now. It doesn't matter how old or young your child is, whatever you've already got in place, now is the time to look at what you have in place, look at areas where you might be missing something or there might be a gap in your planning, and let us help you make suggestions and implement these ideas to get you further down the road and closer to being able to leave a nest egg for your loved one that will take care of them. We also want you to think about what's going to happen after high school. Today's chat is going to help a lot with that. Think about vocational options, educational options, and residential communities, because there are a lot out there and you want to find the right place for your loved one. And you want to make sure that you're on their waiting list in case there is, a wait. We also want you to think very carefully before you just assume that a sibling will want to or be able to step in as a caregiver. That can create resentment on both sides. You know, here's my loving sister who now wants to step into a caregiving role, and it sounds like she's trying to control me. Well, you're not my mom. I could see that thought process happening. I could also see from the other side is someone who has her own family and her own needs and her own desires, and now she feels this obligation. So just be careful with that when you're talking about naming siblings as a future caregiver. So I'm going to turn this over to Rebecca. I do want to reiterate that we are recording this. You will receive these slides and the recording in your email later today. And all of these links, like her email, this will be a clickable link when you get it later on today. I've put the contact information for Consolidated Planning Group and for myself personally in the chat box, so you can reach out to us with questions. And please, if you have any questions or comments, put them in the chat box. We love that. So, Rebecca, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here today. And I will turn it over to you and let you introduce yourself and get talking, get to it.
All right. Well, thanks, Michelle. And I also want to thank the Consolidated Planning Group for inviting me back. I was here last year presenting on our organization. So thank you for that. And of course, to our audience who have joined us, I know I can't see you, but the important thing is that you're taking away today what you're here to learn about. And that's our Texas Workforce Solutions organization and really namely the Vocational Rehabilitation Program. So again, thank you. So on the slide, you'll see my information. And I guess let me just say too, as Michelle mentioned, as we go along, please feel free to ask your questions, because I know that when we're on a slide, that's when your question comes up. So we'll keep in line with your train of thought. But there are six regions in the state of Texas. I am part of one of them, Region 6. And so I'm a member of our regional team, and my role on that team is to serve as a senior transition specialist. And so you might ask, well, what does that even mean? Well, I work to support our regional team of transition counselors within our region, and the support extends into our management teams and to our external partners, such as school districts, our education service centers, many different employers within the community. So I'm here to really support and train anybody that fits within those roles themselves. So at the bottom of this slide, you'll see a website, www.twc.texas.gov. I would encourage you to seek out additional information there, because again, you know, many of you that are here today might be from across the state of Texas, so you may not be specific to our region. But my information will always get you to where you need to be. But our website can also do that. And hopefully later on, you'll see a little QR code that I can speak about. And if we have some time, maybe I can show you all how to access additional information within your respective areas. So next slide.
And let me just say, if you don't mind, okay. I just want to say before I let you go on that today's webinar is really going to be focused on programs and supports that are available in Texas. So if you are not from Texas, I mean, you're welcome to stay and listen to this information. But if you, you know, you want to reach out to us personally and let us know what state you're in, we can get you information for your own state and send that over to you privately. So today we're really going to focus on Texas. Okay, go ahead, Rebecca.
All right, thank you. All right, so I like to start here with a little organizational breakdown, because I know our organization can be a little confusing for everybody. So I'm hoping to make the connection between Texas Workforce Commission, our Workforce Solutions offices, and of course, Vocational Rehabilitation Services. So the illustration I like to use, so just picture an umbrella. I've just popped open the umbrella. At the top of that umbrella is our Texas Workforce Commission. We are a state agency responsible for overseeing and providing workforce development services to both employers and to job seekers across the state of Texas. So that's TWC. And then you have Workforce Solutions. So Workforce Solutions is a statewide network that includes 28 local boards across the state of Texas. So the best way to think about how this network works is to think of a school district. When you're in a school district, you could have many different schools under that district. However, that district works independently of one another, right? From other districts within the area. So we have boards across the state of Texas, and I want for you to think of those Workforce Solutions offices where the boards oversee, again, employment services, workforce development, ensuring that the funding that we get is specific to those general areas. So for example, where I'm located, I'm part of a region that has 7 different boards. So we have many different boards. So I have to make sure my brain is within the right board, because every board looks very different. So here in San Antonio, it's called the Alamo Board, just for an example. And services that you can find under Workforce Solutions are youth services, just like vocational rehab, childcare, unemployment, career training, just to name a few. And then thinking again, that if you think of the umbrella, Texas Workforce is at the top, all the panels or the material that make up the umbrella is your Workforce Solutions offices. And then vocational rehabilitation is one of many services that anybody can access within that system. So we're kind of one of those little spigots of many different departments. So let's see. Yeah, next slide there. Yeah. So actually, could you go back one more slide there just to reference the map quickly? So that map just gives you a breakdown of all of the vocational rehabilitation regions. As you heard me say, I'm part of Region 6. which is South Texas Valley. You'll see that on the map there. And then you'll see 1 through 28, and those are our various boards. So I like to share that information. And just across the state of Texas, we have 180 local workforce solutions offices available to anybody to walk into and secure services. Okay, next slide. So what I would like to start with it is really maybe more focusing on youth with disabilities as they prepare for their transition out of high school into the world of work. But just so everybody knows, we service anybody from 14 and to the age that they're still able to work. So you could be well into your 70s and still have the capability and the desire to work. And if there's a service you need, we can serve you. So I'm going to start off with focusing on students with disabilities. So we have transition counselors that work within the schools, and many of them service many different schools, not just one. They might have three, five, or even more than that. And they service those respective schools in their areas. In order for them to consider a student with a disability, they have to meet this definition. So the first one is that they have to be within the age of 14 to 20, 22. They have to be eligible for or receiving special education services or services under section, what we call Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. And that student also has to be in an education program. So they have to be either currently in high school or pursuing post-secondary education. Those are some of the more popular ones. But of course, it can be any other non-traditional or alternative secondary school, or even programs that are offered through our juvenile justice system. So we do work closely also. We're trying to build great partnership across the state with our foster youth. So again, this is just the definition. In order for us to consider a student with a disability, this is the definition they have to meet. So next slide. So we have two options, or I want for you to think of them perhaps maybe as two different roads or pathways that you can take within vocational rehabilitation. The first one, and it's not specifically listed here, but one way is what we call potentially eligible. And I believe I have a slide later on that speaks about one of our federal laws that opened that door for us to serve students under a potentially eligible phase. And it's really being able just to serve you quicker and more timely so that you can receive the services as early. Again, you saw the age of 14. We can service a student as early as their freshman year, where historically we used to focus on juniors and seniors only. This law has allowed for us to open that door sooner because when you think about it, if you think about how we used to work, juniors and seniors only, it did make sense to us then, where a junior and senior is much closer to the transition out of high school. And so we wanted to get to them sooner. But in hindsight, as we've changed and our law has supported this, we can now serve them sooner, which means every year you can receive the necessary support to be able to prepare you more readily for your exit or your transition out of high school into the world of work. So in order to receive services under potentially eligible, we have what we call pre-employment transition services that you'll see there on the slide, number one. Also known as pre-ETS or pre-ETS. And this is really just, if you have a student in the school and they say, I would like to connect with somebody to receive some, extra support, you'll have a point of contact at your school. They connect with the counselor, say, hey, I'm interested in what I've heard about this pre-employment transition service. And they're going to collect just very basic information about you. They'll have you complete a very brief form. And then once we get verification of the disability, because that's who we serve, you could begin services immediately right after that. Whereas number two is really the pathway for full array of services. Again, you still will connect with the counselor at your school or general counselor that might be working with that school, and they will take you through our full array of services. So what that looks like is you have to first make that initial contact with that counselor. They ask some brief questions about what you're needing from us. Then you'll be scheduled to complete an application for services. A counselor has, by federal law, 60 days to determine your eligibility. And if you're eligible into the program, then you continue working with that same counselor to be able to assess the needs of what services you might benefit from. And then they'll develop a plan of employment with you. It's called an individualized plan of employment, IPE. I almost got it wrong because in the high school, it's called an IEP, which are goals that they set with you. But for us, it's an IPE, individualized plan of employment. So the only main difference here is under potentially eligible, which was really under number one, those services are only specific to pre-ETS services. And I'm going to speak about what those services are here in the next slide. And the second one, you can receive them up to the point where you're no longer meeting that definition that we spoke about briefly. So once you no longer meet that definition, you can no longer receive what we call pre-employment transition services.
Now, you said that once people sign up, these are pretty much instant, or is there a waiting list?
There is no waiting list, but we have to verify the disability first. And usually when we have good partnerships with our schools, we get that pretty quickly. And then, of course, it's just with the potentially eligible pathway, it's more asking what services are you interested in. Just for example, they might say, well, I've never worked before, but I'm very curious what it's like to work. That could be a pre-ETS service that we might start with right away.
Okay. And then on this slide back here, you're talking about that one of the rules is that they have to be in an educational program. Does this include private schools?
It can include any school that is recognized within the state of Texas. So you could even be homeschool and still receive services as long as it's a recognized educational program.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. So on this slide, we have five pre-ETS services. And I'm going to go one by one just to briefly explain them. And this is where our students get the most experience. This is where you really see some growth with them as they start receiving these services throughout the years. But that first one there is career exploration counseling. And it's really just as the words imply, is that they're exploring different careers. That could be as simple as a conversation with a counselor saying, I think I want to be an accountant. And the counselor says, well, tell me a little bit about why you have that interest. And then they can explore things like what we have is called the labor market and career information website. There's Jobs Y'all also. Anybody can look those up and secure additional information. There's even one that I really like that I used to use when I was a transition counselor many years ago, the Texas Reality Check. That one's a really fun one to do with the students. But this is just really exploring what kind of pathway they might want to take. And it's not just a conversation necessarily. We could get other partners involved in coming in to talk with our students, get them involved with different activities. So there's that one. The second one is work-based learning. Work-based learning is paid work experience within an actual work environment. And it really just allows a student to be able to gain direct experience on the work site. So it could be things such as working with your counselor, or we can even hire on what we call employment service specialist, employment service placement specialist. And they work one-on-one with your student to be able to understand what their interests are. Now, these work-based learning opportunities are just that. It's an opportunity. It's not their career goal. It's just to be able to give them an opportunity to work in a real setting to be able to build upon their skills, which will likely transfer into other job opportunities. So when we talk about soft skills, it's, you know, do they understand what time they have to go into work? Do they have to wear a uniform to work? How do they communicate with others? So these are all really good opportunities. And you'll see there some other examples are informational interviews. They can even do volunteer work. It doesn't have to be paid. It could also be job shadowing, or they can even get involved with work-based tours, which are really neat. For example, here in San Antonio, we have Toyota. So some of our students have gone on a tour, and it's amazing. When I've gone on that tour, I'm like, wow, are you guys hiring? Because it's just such a different environment than what you would expect, right? So a lot of our kiddos do get really interested in things like that when you give them a tour. And then, of course, there's internships. The third one, third pre-ETS service is counseling on post-secondary opportunities. Again, it's just exploring the options to prepare for what life might look like after high school for those students that have an interest to pursue college programs. And so we can connect with our local universities or colleges. And it's about securing information about what it takes to get into college. So such as applying for financial aid, helping them understand once you get to college, you have to request accommodations. You can't take in your parents any longer into a college campus and say, they're going to speak for me. They have to learn how to request the needs and the supports to be able to be successful in a college setting. So we have that as a pre-ETS service. A fourth one is workplace readiness training. This offers the students to be able to obtain skills and learn about behaviors that can be used again at any job, as you heard me say, that can transfer on to any job. So some examples of that are having them participate in job clubs, mock interviews. There are those soft skills that I briefly talked about. And then social and independent living training. We can also assist with resume writing, which again, when you think about the workforce solutions offices, they offer that as well. But when you have your counselor, the counselor might refer you to a workforce solutions office to work with somebody, or we might have the option to hire on our employment specialist, or the counselor can help you themselves. And then again, also applying for job all falls within workplace readiness training. And then that last one, last pre-ETS service is self-advocacy instruction. And it's really working to identify the students' interests and their desires and how to effectively communicate those needs and those wants, as you heard me say. I feel like self-advocacy kind of goes hand in hand with all the other four. But some examples of this are self-advocacy trainings and job accommodation networks, peer mentoring. So those are just a few examples of how we can provide these five pre-ETS activities. So next slide, unless there's questions.
Yeah, a couple quick ones. This one I think we'll get to in a little bit. The school says they only focus on vocational stuff during the senior year. Before that, they need academic data and they don't go outside of the school. So will a VR counselor help intervene in that situation if the student is maybe a junior and the school is saying, oh, we don't want, or is this just, this is kind of separate, right?
Well, we have built quite a bit of partnerships across the state with our different schools. I will say that you'll have some examples where schools are highly involved and we get so many referrals from that partner school, whereas other schools are still trying to learn a little bit more about what we do and how we can really help and don't quite make the connection. And part of it could be they might have new staff, they might have new leadership. But if we have an assignment, so to speak, and when I say assignment, it's just that a school has expressed interest to connect with us and we can have somebody go out there and present just like I'm doing now. We can have somebody go to the school, speak with management, speak with their leadership, and even do like career fairs. We like to go to career fairs and job fairs. And if you give us an opportunity to be at the table, we will. But I think it's bridging that gap of understanding. But yes, the counselor could assist with that if you're connected or if you get connected, they could be that gap.
That's fantastic. And just to clarify, because this sounds too good to be true, but these are at no cost to the families that you serve.
So that's a great, great question. So when we think about the path of potentially eligible, we don't ask for any proof of financial information. It's really just the proof of the disability. You complete one of our forms. It's called a VR 1820. It's just saying, hey, I want those pre-ETS services. However, whenever a student is going to be going into work or they apply for the full array of services, because we're a state agency, we receive funding from the state and federal government. So we're required to secure proof of income. So the majority of individuals that apply with us fall below what we call a basic living requirement. So the government sets a limit of, you know, for example, a family of four should be able to survive off of a set amount, right? So if you're above that amount, based on information we collect from you, you might have to pay in towards services, but you'll never pay our organization. You will never pay a counselor. It gets applied to your services. But if you're above that basic living requirement, you are required to pay in to that. But yes, just in general, we could spend $100,000 on a student's case, for example, and that money never needs to be paid back. All we expect is for that student to eventually secure employment at the end of it. So we could serve them 4 years in high school. They could have received just potentially eligible services, the pre-ETS through that potentially eligible pathway, and then apply for full array of services. We could help them through post-secondary education. And at the end of that, they secure employment. And that's all we expect. So it doesn't matter how much we spend on the case as long as they can secure employment.
Fantastic.
So here again is just it's kind of repeating just what I shared earlier, is we just need to get a form completed. If they're a minor, of course, we need the parents involved. There are actually a couple of forms we could use, but the ones that just let us know that you're interested in receiving pre-ETS services is that VR-1820, the request for those services. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we just get verification of the disability. That's what our program's about. We serve individuals with physical, mental, and visual impairments. So that's the first criteria you have to meet to be able to secure our services. So that's just, those are just two bullet points that are reiterating what I've already shared. Okay. And this too, again, this is just the second pathway of applying for the full array of services. This one here, anybody could apply. For example, you and I could apply for these services should we ever need them. So this is taking you through those that step. So again, the first one is that initial contact. Typically we get that. So when you're out of high school, when we think of our students, when you're out of high school, you typically know who your counselor in it, who your vocational rehab counselor is. And if there is not one there, you can always request for somebody to meet with. Now there are differences with the two sets of counselors, and then we have specialty counselors, but transition counselors, again, serve only students with disabilities. Then you have your general counselors that serve both the general population of adults and might have a school assignment, but they don't work to the capacity. And I guess maybe that's not how I should say it. They don't serve the number of students that a transition counselor does. And then we also have blind counselors that serve blind or individuals with blindness or visual impairment. So they're considered a BVI transition counselor. So they're still working with the youth, but it's more specific to blindness. So that first contact is always going to be with a counselor. And again, they're going to secure information about you to understand what it is that you're wanting, what your disability is, how you, in your perspective, how you believe that that provides some kind of struggle or barrier or impairment for you. And then we will schedule you for that application. That application, we gather a whole lot more information about you. So typically the families know a whole lot about their own son or daughter. And so we welcome them to be a part of this process, especially if they're underage, they have to be a part of it. But they can offer information such as, you know, the functional limitations of that student's disability. Has the student ever worked before? Do they want to work? What's their education been like? Have they been involved with any kind of legal issues? And then, of course, it's just an interaction. It's an opportunity for the counselor to see and observe how this student is interacting with them and perhaps give some observation notes on perhaps what we need to work on. So there's the application process. That could take anywhere between an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on each appointment needs. Okay, next slide. And there's the eligibility determination. Again, we are an eligibility program. We're not an entitlement program, so you have to meet the following criteria. The student has to meet the first one, which is you have to have a physical, mental, or like I said, a visual impairment. Second criteria is that impairment is presenting some kind of struggle towards employment. It's either to secure employment or perhaps it's to maintain employment if a student happens to have a job and they're struggling to maintain it. The student also needs to require certain services from us to prepare for, secure, retain, or advance into employment. And it's all going to be unique to their individual strengths, their interests, their abilities. And it's all also based on informed choice. We give you informed choice. And an example of what informed choice means is you might say, I would like to get a vocational evaluation. And then we say, okay, here are the three providers that we have available. And your informed choice might be, I prefer to work with a female versus a male, or it could be, I prefer the office that's closest to my house. That's us giving you all the information you need to make that informed choice. And then that last criteria is there is that through the services that we provide that you need, that you're able to then secure employment at the end of it all, at the end of your journey with us. Okay, next slide.
I just want to say, I love what's happening in the chat box, that there are other VR counselors in there helping answer questions.
Oh, nice.
So,
that's so good to hear. I wish I could see.
Thank you to Giovanni is answering questions and people are helping. So that is fantastic.
Awesome. Okay. So, yes, if you're eligible for services, again, you'll work with your counselor to work on that individualized plan of employment. So that plan is going to let us know what is the vocational goal that we've agreed to. And if I can maybe off step here, if it's a student that's still in high school, maybe a freshman or a sophomore or junior, maybe it's just that exploration. But at any time we develop a plan, that plan will always only have one goal because we can't be working towards multiple goals. And so throughout high school, when they're involved, maybe in paid work experience, those are just kind of giving them a bird's eye view, if you will, of something that might capture their attention that later could be their official goal as we continue to move forward. But that employment, that IPE that will only have one goal. And in that plan, it'll state the services, the specific services that we're providing to you. So it could be pre-ETS work-based learning, and we'll identify the service provider that you've chosen to work with. It could be doing volunteer work. It could be receiving post-secondary education at, you know, the University of Texas at San Antonio. I don't work for them, so I'm not just an example. So it's going to specify every service that we're providing or sponsoring or arranging for you. And then services begin to be provided to you during that time. If perhaps you apply for services and we determine that you're not eligible for services, you will be deemed ineligible. And then we would be required to close the case out. You would always be given a reason why you don't meet eligibility one way or the other. And then we will also provide you with other resources, perhaps in the community, so that we're not just closing your case, but that we're hopefully giving you something to leave and depart with in terms of a resource. And then, of course, we'll let you know by letter, of course, or by phone that the case has been closed. And then you can't access pre-ETS services anymore.
Okay, and this next is slide. For the second pathway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So okay, potentially eligible is that quick service. And then the full array of services is applying, being determined eligible, developing a plan, and then closing the case successfully. Yes.
And this can be people of pretty much any age.
Any age. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. So potentially eligible is really more for our transition students that are in school. And then, of course, the full array is available to them should they have a need for additional services. So a student could technically never be a potentially eligible student. They might say, you know, I really have a need for a job coach, for example. Then that would cue the counselor in to guide them down that other pathway of applying for the full array of services. but they can still access pre-employment transition services, even being on an official IPE with us. All right, so you might wonder, how do I get started then? So of course, if you have a counselor at your high school, that's who you wanna work directly with. But for those of you that are trying to get connected or find additional information, there's one of two ways, or one of several ways really. There's a QR code on this slide that you can scan, and it'll open up what we call Start My VR. It's a self-referral, it's an online self-referral. So it simply asks you to fill in some very brief information, enter your city, your zip code, and then what happens is somebody will get that and then assign it to the respective area across the state of Texas within your local community. And then somebody will reach out to you to schedule that appointment. So some people, this has been very convenient. But again, if you know somebody directly that's working at your school, that's the person you really want to go to. You don't really want to go this route. This is more for somebody that's not connected at all. And then of course, you can, again, I spoke earlier about the website. You can go into our website and you can find offices across the state of Texas, again, just by entering your zip code. So these links, as Michelle mentioned, she's sharing this PowerPoint, those are live links. So if you click on it, it should get you to where you can do a search of your area. And then of course, we have a number you can call if you prefer to speak in person or by phone. There's that number there, 512-936-6400. And again, somebody will get you connected to the appropriate office in your area.
Wonderful, wonderful. And yes, you will receive a copy of this presentation. Do you provide job coaches for the Summer Earn and Learn program?
Ooh, I love it. Somebody knows Summer Earn and Learn. So that's a great question. So Summer Earn and Learn, also known as SEAL, is one of our summer initiatives. So we partner, when I say we, I mean vocational rehabilitation partners with our boards across the state of Texas for this initiative. And there are opportunities. Again, it's a partnership with your counselor. So if there's a student that works pretty independently, takes the guidance fairly well, they may not need a job coach. So it's not an automatic that every student that participates in SEAL gets a job coach. We call them job skills trainers, but I know everybody's more familiar with the old term job coaches. But if you have somebody that perhaps has a need for a job coach, that's a conversation you can have with the counselor. And the counselors are the ones that make the decisions on all of the customers' cases. We call them customers. They make the decisions on all the case, but they can consider anything. And if it's within our policy to support that, we absolutely will. And if we're not, then we'll tell you why. So it never hurts to ask. So I hope that answered the question for that individual.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. That's just some additional information. I feel like there's 100 ways to get a hold of us. You can go to the next slide. And this next and final slide is really just some people are interested about our funding. We do, as you heard me say, we get federal and state and federal funding. And this is just this, information that we're required to share during all of our presentations as a slide. It just gives you a breakdown of how that money is used within, you know, the vocational rehab program versus our supported employment programs, our services, and the independent living services for older individuals who are blind. So you'll have that information for your reading as well. And I believe that wraps me up, Ms. Michelle.
Yeah, that wraps up
your questions.
Yeah, I have a couple of slides to go through, and then I'm going to go back to the questions after I do my slides to make sure we kind of got everything, and then to also let everybody ask their questions while I'm reading through this stuff to get those questions taken care of. So this list is just some of the things that we encourage you as parents to keep on your radar, things you need to be thinking about. And if you have questions about any of these topics, we can help you. Developing that special needs care plan, the estimate, we can do an estimate of your future cost of care for your loved one. It's actually, we try to come up with an amount of money that we know if you put this amount of money in the special needs trust when you pass away, that will be enough to take care of your loved one after you pass away through the end of their life. That's a hugely important number to understand. We also help you with Texas waiver programs, SSI, SSDI, ABLE accounts, how to designate beneficiaries correctly, a special needs trust and how to fund them and what to do if your child is getting child support beyond age 18. We talk a lot about guardianship and alternatives to guardianship and other legal issues that you need to keep in mind. We talk a lot about residential living communities, post high school options, vocational options, all kinds of great information that would be so helpful. The fees for our financial planning services vary. We do offer a free consultation. I'm going to get to that in a second. This link is going to take you to our website where you can find all of our upcoming webinars. You can go ahead and register for them in advance so that when the time comes, if you're unable to attend, you'll still get the slides and the link to the recording. This is our entire firm. This is Consolidated Planning Group, all on one slide. There are four financial advisors. It's two sets of husband and wives. We're all parents. We have all worked with children. We all live this and breathe this, like I said. Every one of us works on every single file that we have. Every customer has four advisors working for them. We also have a fantastic operations staff who helps with paperwork and things on our end to keep us running smoothly. And then finally, I'm going to leave this slide up, but this is where you can schedule your free consultation with Consolidated Planning Group. What we want to do is, first of all, get to know you a little bit and your family and answer any questions that you have for us. Any specific questions, like if I didn't get to a question today, you can ask me about that in this call. If you have a question about how to apply for SSI or, you know, whatever it is you might need to know about right away, we want to answer those questions first. Then we will go through our planning options. We offer three different planning packages that are paid packages, but we also offer some services that you don't have to pay us for. For example, we do sell life insurance. And if all you wanted was to purchase more life insurance, we could do that. We could transact that for you without you paying a fee to us other than, you know, purchasing your life insurance. But there are other things that we do at a cost and things that we do for free. That's why I suggest everybody just call us and set up your free consultation. You can use the QR code to do it. You can call or email. You can even email me. I already put my email address in the chat box, but I'll do it again, you know, for tracking purposes. Sometimes I like to be the one to schedule appointments, but let me get that in the chat box. Okay, so we also have the links to our social media down there, the YouTube channel, Instagram, our podcast, and our Facebook channel. So I'll hold on to this screen a little bit while we go back and make sure we have all of your questions answered. So this is the best time. If you have additional questions, put them in the chat box. Rebecca, I did see something very interesting kind of towards the beginning of our chat today, but I put off this question to give you time to answer. Can you explain the drug testing policy through AT staffing or any drug testing policies that are out there, but against these programs?
I'm not sure if I understand the question fully. So there are times, for example, you know, even just going back to our example of summer earn and learn, if a student gets hired on to work, just for example, Walgreens, that employer might require drug testing, and then we have to take those steps for that. But it's something that they do for everybody, right? So I'm not sure if I understand that question fully. And
how about
through AT staffing, is that a particular vendor in your area? I'm not even familiar with who that is or what that might stand for.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to clarify that question a little bit, Megan, I'll go ahead and ask some other ones that we've missed, and then we can come back to that one if she clarifies.
Okay.
What about, can the reps, the Texas Workforce Counselors or reps, can they attend our meetings?
Yes. The school's welcome to invite our counselors to the ARD meetings. I will say that there, you know, our counselors get booked up because they're serving so many students, so many customers within their caseloads that it may be difficult for them to present or be in person unless you give them well advanced notice. And I'm talking even up to maybe a month. I know you're really just required to give us at least a couple of week's notice, but it really does help when you give them much more advanced notice. But they can attend, especially if it's somebody that we're already connected with. We want to be a part of some of those transition meetings as they prepare for their exit out of high school. But yes, we can attend when invited.
Right, great. Now, if this question is kind of saying that her daughter is in pre-ets, but she's getting help from another VR counselor in the school district, not the one who's specifically assigned to her school. Can she still help with that situation, even though she wants that other VR counselor? I mean, is that a problem?
So that's another really great question. So again, at the end of the day, our customers, which are students in this case, have informed choice, right? So if a student and a parent seem to be working well with another counselor, that would be a conversation with that counselor and perhaps even their VR supervisor to make sure, because if you have somebody assigned to that school, that counselor is working around the way the school district works within their district, right? And so if you have another counselor coming in that may not be familiar with that, they may not get the flow of the way the other counselor is working unless they partner up, right? So it is possible. It's just maybe having a couple of conversations with the right people, which would be the counselor and the supervisor, to make sure that it makes sense to have them serve at that campus.
Okay. Would you be interested in attending a resource fair in San Antonio? Mary, I'll let you reach out to Rebecca and her team on that one. She can send the link to, maybe that's to me. Send us the information, send whoever the link. We'll see if we can attend. I was told that students have to do drug testing with the AT staffing vendor in our area to participate in paid work experience. That's what she was talking about.
Okay, so maybe that might be specific to your board. Again, so many different partners, right? It's not just VR, it's our board partners. It could be the specific employers that they partner up with. So I would defer you to your counselor and perhaps even your management team that works within the boards or that partner up with the boards. But yeah, I mean, it could be a request that might be necessary to participate.
Yeah, and I'm assuming she's, you know, talking about medications that the child needs to help them function, but might not necessarily be good to see on a drug test.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Does a school have the authority to decide if the kid is not independent enough to be selected for the employment program? Okay, so the school is saying that, oh, they're not going to be able to hold a job. They're not independent enough. They shouldn't go with that program. I mean, they could just refer themselves, right? Sign up themselves.
They can. I think that's really a great question too, though. Just so everybody's aware, we do have part of our process one of, you know, the pathway that we have, so to speak, if they're interested in applying for services, but maybe there are questions about that student's ability to be successfully employed at the end of it all, we have a process that we call a pre-trial eligibility. And in that case, we would develop a plan, but it's not an employment plan because we're trying to answer that question, are they employable? So instead, what we do is write up a plan without a goal, and then we get you connected with a provider that would work directly with that student and perhaps take them to HEB as a stalker and evaluate and observe how they work in following instructions and getting the tasks done. And let's say they say, that's great, they do well. Then they get two more opportunities to be evaluated and observed. And if all those check out, different, it's not always a stalker, it's going to be a stalker and then maybe a different environment of customer service, you know. And after all those observations, those three observations, if that provider says, oh, the student's done really well, then we can move them into an eligibility process. And then we do the plan for employment and then they would have a goal. Whereas maybe the other scenario is we take them through this pre-trial eligibility process, and every experience that we get of those three shows that the student is unable to follow instruction. They're unable to work without being fully supervised. If we get that kind of feedback, then with that information, then we can deem that individual ineligible for our services, perhaps because a disability is too severe that may not allow them to work independently. Because we do focus on competitive and integrated employment.
Fantastic. All right, well, we've only got 2 minutes left. You partner with AT&T?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know all of the state of Texas. You could have different regions that perhaps have partnered with AT&T. But again, you could also be a worker at AT&T and apply for services and not be a student with a disability. You could be an adult that might've gotten injured and then apply for services. Possible.
Like there's a lot of different ways to be able to get hooked up with these programs. And the best thing really to do is find a counselor, get in touch, sign up for the VR program. Do you think you could show how to do that in 2 minutes we have left?
Yeah, on the website?
Yeah, I could go ahead and make it so you can share your screen.
Okay.
And if you can go ahead and click share your screen and pull that up, you can show us. But that's really pretty much all the questions that we have for today. And I appreciate everyone so much for coming in. And go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so if you type in www.twc.texas.gov, it'll get you to this page. And then under programs, right up here, you'll click under programs. And then it'll pull up this other little menu and you'll go under where it says workers. You're somebody that's wanting to work, right? So you'll go under vocational rehabilitation. And when you click there, it'll take you to our page and scroll just maybe a little past the top of the page. And here's that Start My VR. If you click there, it'll bring up the online referral. This is what it looks like. Very simple. Address, name, date of birth, your email address. And then you'll hit submit over here on the lower right-hand corner. And then that will get it to somebody on the team that will review it and then get it to the respective office in your local area. And then you'll also see that it does give you the eligibility criteria that we spoke about today. So if you fit, you know, as you're assessing yourself, if you meet every one of those, then you can submit this online referral. At the end of the day, we don't deny anybody from inquiring or applying for services, but we will take you through that eligibility process.
Perfect. Well, this has been fantastic. And I thank you again for coming, everybody who is here in the audience, and to you, Rebecca, for presenting all of this fantastic information, and to Giovanni in the chat box is with Region 3.
Awesome. Okay.
Yes. So I really appreciate everybody. Please reach out to us, either one of us, for questions. We are here to help. We are willing to help you. It just takes a quick email or phone call to get guidance. and to sign up for the free consultation with us. And I know that Rebecca is ready to help you as well. So thank you all very much. I hope you have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Michelle. Bye-bye.
Bye.